My biggest thing is my job is not to give you a home birth. My job is to give you a healthy mom and a healthy baby and hopefully have a really high satisfaction rate involved in that. And so... Okay, guys, welcome back to Convos with Con. I am so, so, so pumped for today because I have one of my dearest friends, Lindsay, with me. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, Connie. Thank you so much for having me. We have talked about this so many different times, and I'm so glad that we actually get to sit down and do this.
I know, me too. So let me introduce Lindsay to you guys because I have talked about her. You guys have seen her in my stories, and now she's finally here with us. And Lindsay is actually my midwife. So just a quick little backstory. Lindsay helped deliver both my daughters, and she is, I wouldn't say one of the top, I would say the top rated midwife here in Southern California, in my opinion and many other people's opinions. And we'll get to that too later on in the podcast, but she truly is more than just a midwife to me. She's become such a sweet friend. She's just become such a resource to me, someone I look up to and I admire. She's incredible. And you guys ask me all the things about babies and newborns and having home births. And I thought, you know what? We need to just get Lindsay on here and hear from the expert herself. So welcome, 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 Linz.
Yay. Thank you.
Yay. Okay. So you guys, we're going to jump right in because honestly, she could have a phone call any minute and be going off to a birth because that's literally her schedule all the time. So we're just going to get right to it. I'm going to jump in with some questions. Linz, why don't you just tell them a little bit about you, your background, and why you decided and what led you to becoming a midwife?
Okay, perfect. So I have been in the birth world for 16 years now, which is crazy because I still feel at times like I'm 25. Mm-hmm. But I had my daughter and had a really traumatic hospital birth experience that ended up with a failed induction and a cesarean. And during that experience and the recovery postpartum, I kept feeling like the way that things happened wasn't how they were actually supposed to happen. And I kind of felt like there was this innate power that was robbed from me. And so once my daughter was a little bit older, I was able to kind of devour through every book and, put myself in these different classes and get resources where I could help women to try to not have the same experience that I had. And I started it, I'm going to save birth. And then I realized after going to hospital birth that that wasn't possible. There were literally times that I felt like an accomplice to a crime sitting in the hospital room. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, okay, this doesn't work for me. So I'm going to help moms breastfeed their babies. Like, what's better than looking down at a mom nursing her baby and, helping set up that amazing gift. And I was there in the hospital and I was running this really busy lactation clinic and seeing, thousands of moms and babies. And then I started to realize that all of the problems, or most of the problems that we were seeing in the breastfeeding clinic, were directly caused from the birth. So then I went back to the drawing boards again and I said, well, the hospital birth wasn't necessarily working for me and the lactation is fine, but I don't feel like I'm really reaching my life's greatest work. So I think I'm just going to have to become a midwife. And it just so happened at the time that there was a midwifery school, the only state accredited midwifery school in California, that was opening at the same time. And I knew the founder and she said, Linz, come down, you have to do this. And without hesitation, I just jumped right in. And I was in that school for over 3 years. During that time, I got pregnant with my son and had my son actually in our jacuzzi in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And so I had that full circle, experience with my son where, I got the birth of my dreams and I had the exact opposite to compare it to. And then I just, again, once my son was a little bit older and I was done with all of my numbers, jumped straight into a home birth midwifery practice. So I've been practicing home birth midwifery for the last 10 years now. And it's just been one of the greatest blessings in my life and also the greatest curse. I joke and say, you know, there's so much joy and there's so much with the miracles that happen. And at the same time, there's also heartbreak. And I'm a midwife that, as Connie said, like I become friends with my clients, like my clients become my family. And so walking through those, you know, different things with my clients on both ends has definitely been a big lesson in my life.
Yeah. Well, I would say that that's why I think you are so good at what you do. And I think that is one of the pieces that, again, not putting down hospitals or doctors by any means, because I know you work very closely with many of them. It's just, it tends to be a common lacking type of thing that you get when you are in that type of care, or at least for me, where you don't have the, I don't know if I'm, you know what I'm saying, that genuine like connection. Like
yeah, it's a like personal touch for sure. Right. There's definitely something that's missing there. And, you know, like you just said, like I'm not against hospital birth at all. There is for sure a time and a place. And if even if somebody is the healthiest, low risk woman, if her mind is not there for home birth, like she needs to be in the hospital. Yeah. So it's really like my biggest mission has been to kind of bridge that gap and find this collaboration between both worlds and really try to integrate both of those things together so that women have more choices and more experience or more choices with their experience. And it's still we're working at it. We're chipping away at it, but it's you know, an everyday thing that we have to deal with.
So with that being said, who would home birth be for? I mean, you touched on a little bit about your mind being right, but who would you say, is there a certain type? Because I think a lot of people think, you know, it's this certain type of person or personality. And I know you've seen every different type of person and personality do a home birth. Who really is it for, or who should maybe look into this as an option?
Yeah. So, you know, I always like to remind people when they come in for their free consultation, I always say like, my job is not to talk you into a home birth. Your job is to convince me why you are an ideal candidate for a home birth. Mm-hmm. And it's really and truthfully, the hospital is a modern day convenience. I have women that come in and say, I just don't know if I can handle the pain. And I would say, but if you were in Africa right now, today in 2020, and there was zero access to an epidural, you would have no choice but to handle the pain. And so it's really just shifting that mindset and realizing that this is a normal physiological process that our bodies have done for thousands and thousands of years. Made to work, because I mean, look at our population. We're up, I think, 2.5 billion right now or something like that. And it's all because our bodies are made to do this one act of giving birth. So, you know, first things first is we have to start low risk. If we have somebody that has, you know, high risk situation, usually it's medical conditions that we already know about, high blood pressures, diabetes, you know, certain things that a woman would say, home birth isn't for me. And then we look at the women that are low risk and we look at what their actual day-to-day life looks like. If I have a mom that has a really high stress job and she's driving through McDonald's 3 meals a day and, you know, she doesn't want to dig deep and find this inner power, she's probably not the best candidate for a home birth. Now, on the contrary of that, she could also be the perfect candidate if she wanted to turn her life around. So, you know, there's no judgment by that. But I always joke when I say that I get the cream of the crop for clients, because my clients are typically coming into me because they've done lots and lots and lots of research and they're seeking something different. So they're already down the black hole, so to speak, of nutrition. And, you know, more organic eating and having a toxin-free home. And there, this is just like the next piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. And I think that I like that you mentioned that, because for me, we didn't with Roslyn start out thinking we were going to do a home birth at all. We actually started out with just going into looking at the Bradley method, because my sister, as some of you know, and maybe don't know, my little sister's on to now having her sixth baby at home. All of the other five were at home. And so she had always told me, well, you got to go just go take a class. She never said go do home birth, right? She just said, go get educated, right, on the process of the birthing experience, on what it really, what does your body go through, right? What are the phases of labor? What are all the things that, like, literally nobody would have ever told me or that I would have even known about? So we started with just going that route, right, with the Bradley class. And then that kind of opened us up to, like, huh, okay. And I think I didn't even come to you until what, I was probably 7 months pregnant and like, yeah, hey, can I do this? I'm going to switch.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm actually really picky about people coming to me late in care because I feel like there's a certain time that people need to actually really settle and ground into their bodies in order to have that home birth. But there's certain people that come in and I'm like, oh, they'll be fine. Like, they are so convicted and this is what they want, that they'll be fine, you know?
Right. So with that being said, would you recommend to people to definitely start with maybe classes? Do you think there's one better than the other? I mean, I know there's so many things like HypnoBabies and Bradley Method. What would you say to that? Or do you give those as, you know, precursors to doing home birth?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Knowledge is power. You know, and I have both sets of the field. So I have first-time moms that are taking a childbirth class and they're like, what? This is what happens at the hospital. And then they start doing their information or education and they get all this information and they realize that this, you know, the way that they were actually thinking of giving birth isn't actually how they want to give birth. And Bradley classes are great. HypnoBabies is great. HypnoBirthing is great. And that, you know, just tends to be this precursor to dig deeper and really get into what type of birth that they want. Now, on the flip side, I also have clients that have had a baby the first time in the hospital and they had a really bad experience or, a subpar experience, and they're seeking something different. And when those people come in, I don't even necessarily recommend them taking childbirth classes because they've already been through the process, and it's more going through the process of releasing that past birth, letting go of any trauma, moving past the fear, and really stepping into this place of power before they give birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I totally agree. Okay, so what I want to ask you then, rolling right along, is what would be some of the benefits? So say we've done our research and we kind of know, or maybe some people are out there and they're just too scared to kind of really get the questions out there. But what would you say are some of the biggest benefits to having a home birth?
I think the most important thing is the level of intimacy that's provided with a home birth. If you talk to people that have natural births at the hospital, and I've seen hundreds, and there's just no comparison to being in your own bed with the people that you want present, with germs that you're already immune to, not with, a sick person down the hall. And really having that intimacy that comes along with it. With my clients, I not the first time with you, but usually it's that whole pregnancy journey that we have together. We develop this really deep, beautiful relationship. And, it's like a beloved friend that walks in to help you instead of a nurse or a doctor that you've never met. The separation of baby is basically non-existent. Like once baby comes out, baby is on your chest the whole entire time, unless there's something that comes up. But if there is anything that comes up, then we're always doing it right next to mom and, mom's partner and talking to the baby throughout the whole experience. I always say that I am a midwife first for babies and second for mom's experience. And the reason is because with all the experience that I had in the hospital, I really noticed a lot of disregard towards baby's psyche. Like the baby was just an object, not an actual person that was experiencing this as if we would as an adult. And so, my biggest thing is really slowing that whole process down. Mm-hmm. And we know that when babies come out, they're processing things 6 times slower than we do as adults. And so it's even just like taking those deep breaths. And after that initial joy and ecstatic bliss with the baby coming out, it's like letting baby find the breast on its own. You know, that primal imprint that's created of baby just kind of laying on mom's chest, and instead of being whisked away to the warmer and having, eye drops and vitamin K and all these different things, It's like baby is just there on mom and getting that full, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to take in the experience before we even think about even cutting the cord.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is the biggest benefit. Now you could look at studies, and studies would show that there's lower rates of intervention and there's way higher rates of satisfaction. And, you can even look at maternal death rates being significantly lower, and that directly correlates with the lower rates of intervention. Throughout all of time, it's always been midwives. Doctors are very new to this birthing world. If we still look at different countries that have the best outcomes for moms and babies, midwives are always at the root of care. Japan, England, the Netherlands, all the main European countries, it's midwives giving care. What happens to be this year with the World Health Organization is this is the year of the midwife. They've declared that if they put more into the midwives and more education into growing the midwifery population, that we're going to have better outcomes across the world. So, it's definitely starting to be recognized as a massive component in the healthcare system.
That's awesome. I'm so glad for that because, I obviously know no different because I had both of my girls at home, but I have also been present in several different hospital births, and just, it really comes down to, like you said earlier, it's the education. It's educating ourselves on what are the facts, what are the importances of those first few hours out of the womb that blew my mind that you would never hear about in a hospital. And it's like, why? I wish we all, every single pregnant mama on the planet, should know about those intricacies and how we were designed to have in that connection, and why we don't cut the cord, and why we don't wipe off the vernix, and why, these simple things that you think are no big deal, but that's because they're just not educated, right? And I feel like it goes back to that, getting that education. And once Phil and I did, it was for us, I had fears. You remember me, I would go in and go, okay, I don't know. Or I would have those like, okay, I want to do this. I'm going to do this, but I still would get scared, right? Time to time with all the little things, but man, oh man, once you go through it and you experience it, there's no going back. There was not even a blink of an eye of an option.
Yeah, no. And, even I feel like even though with moms that have had home births the first time around, moving into the second, like they've done birth now. So like they know what it's like to go through that experience. And so I feel like there's always that little bit of fear that creeps back in. And then you're like, wait a second, like, what am I even thinking right now? Right. There is no way I will be anywhere else. And then they get to the point of being so pregnant that they want the baby out, and the, wanting the baby out is bigger than the fear of the tiny bit of fear with birth. And they're like, okay, let's do this,
Yeah. It's just the most, I wish everybody could watch my home birth and watch my whole video.
I know,
and just,
you're like the master birther.
Well, I think I kind of was built for it, I guess. But you know what? Beyond that, it's just, I cannot describe to people when they ask me, I cannot describe the feeling of not coming off of drugs, not coming off. The healing time alone is so much better, but just there's something special about those, the way you get the care at home versus maybe other care. And there's just nothing that can compare. And I think that's what it came down to for us, was we knew that wasn't going to happen. We knew that it wasn't going to go down with the certain things we wanted in the hospital, as far as, they say, yes, bring us your birth plan. But it's like, really, we kind of had a feeling that it wasn't going to probably go that route. And we didn't want to feel pressured, and we didn't want to feel like our arms were twisted into doing something that we weren't comfortable with. And we knew being here, we would have that care and that respect. But also, here's the kicker, and this will lead into my other question, also the level and competency of knowledge. So people just assume, at home, something's going to happen. And what if you don't get to hospital? All these misconceptions are out there. And so I guess that would roll me into the next question of, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about home birth that you've had to deal with, or that deal with it all the time, as far as overcoming what people think?
So I find the biggest misconceptions associated with home birth is that you're like kind of in the field in the back of your house, and you like, or like there's nobody around to help you, and you just kind of have to do this on your own. And there was actually a really big smear campaign when hospitals started shifting birth over to them, and it like started in the 20s and 30s. And if you go back, you can actually Google it and look at there, there was posters of like this granny midwife that had no education that was delivering your baby, and there was this enticing picture of this doctor in a white jacket with his gloves on. And so it's, I mean, it's definitely a premeditated thought that's been around for a lot of time. And even in my experience of, you know, the last 16 years, I've seen birth centers open in hospitals. And once the birth center got to be over 30% of the general consensus of birth, the doctors got pissed and they kicked the birth center out. So, you know, there's a lot of politics that are involved in it with this misconception of the lack of education that comes with midwifery. And I find it's the exact opposite. You know, even when I was going to midwifery school, I had the option to go to nurse midwifery school or to become a certified professional midwife. And I looked at nurse midwives, and I love nurse midwives. There's nothing wrong with nurse midwives. But the majority of their training through school, it was done in a hospital. And I knew that I wanted to be at home. And so I decided to, instead of taking that, you know, 18 months to 2 year path of nurse midwifery school, I decided to jump into the 3 year program that was all home birth. And, you know, during the studies, you kind of go through this normal physiological process of birth. Mm-hmm. That's not what's taught with obstetrical care. You know, obstetrical care is that pregnancy is a disaster that's waiting to happen, and they must save women from that disaster. And midwifery model of care is like, no. This is a normal physiological process. And if we stand back and we hold space and we know that, you know, whatever client or this particular woman's body and this particular woman's baby enough, that we're going to see red flags come up way before there's a massive emergency. And, you know, hopefully have enough time if we need to transport into the hospital. With that being said, my transfer rate to the hospital in any given year is about 4-6%. Wow. And my C-section rate is about 4-6% as well, just depending on what happens that year. And only 1%, less than 1%, is a true emergency. And so, you know, what people don't realize is that midwives are trained to deal with obstetrical emergencies. And most of the time, I feel like we have better training for obstetrical emergencies because we don't have all the nifty tools and gadgets that are taught in medical school. And so we have our hands and we have, you know, we're listening to baby's heart rate and we have oxygen and stuff like that. But we know the process of what works, and our clients don't have medication on board. So, you know, if we have a baby that is large and has some sort of a shoulder dystocia where the shoulders get stuck once the head's out, you know, my biggest benefit is I get to move mom's body. And if I can move mom's body, that's going to make baby coming out way easier than if a mom had an epidural and was stuck on her back. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's combining those different things. A few years ago, I think it was 2016 now, FEMA had a medical conference in the mountains in Utah. And basically they always had obstetricians do their out of hospital birth protocols for natural disasters. And I think they finally got wind that, you know, that's the worst thing, because in the hospital they have all of their tools, and, you know, home birth midwives are the ones that know physiological normal birth, and they are the ones that are doing out of hospital birth. And so in this conference that we had, we all got to sit together and powwow and put together different protocols that we can bring into the, you know, local fire stations, and we can bring into the big organizations of FEMA. And that's massive. That's a huge shift. And so it's just coming back to that fact of, you know, we're dealing with low risk women. I personally, in Orange County, I'm, you know, 5 to 10 minutes away from a hospital. If anything happens, we go in. My biggest thing is my job is not to give you a home birth. My job is to give you a healthy mom and a healthy baby, and hopefully have a really high satisfaction rate involved in that. And so, you know, you want to do the research and you want to find out, you know, what kind of training your midwife's had, but you also want your midwife to be somebody that you're really comfortable with, because if you're not comfortable with your midwife, then you're not going to feel comfortable to birth with your midwife. And so all of those factors are just so important in picking, you know, the safest option for your birth.
So that trails into the next question, actually, but I want to go back to what you were just saying right now, because that's one of the biggest things that actually brought us to looking at doing a home birth and not doing the hospital birth. When we were going through the process, we were with one of the top doctors at one of the top, I won't even say all the names, obviously we don't need to, but one of the biggest birthing hospitals in Orange County. And I asked her, I said, what is your, you know, what's the typical average like C-section rate? Like how many births actually do end up in a C-section? And it was 35%. 35% of all births, and they're the largest birthing hospital literally in Southern California. Is there, are you kidding me? And just like you said, yours was 4 to 6%. And it's like, because, and again, we just have to go back to what are they trained to do? The majority, from what we have learned and what we studied and what we found out, of doctors and or, you know, nurse practitioner, midwives, like you were saying, have never, ever, ever seen an actual natural birth from beginning to end without intervention. Not one. And so it's like, so, and then we expect them to somehow be on board with giving us this natural experience when that's not what they've ever been trained on. They've never seen it. And their whole theory is, just like you said, this preventative, disastrous type of thought process. That's how they're going in with it. Then that's the way it's going to be treated the whole way through. So that was eye-opener.
It's a huge eye-opener. Sure. You know, every year I do a in service at the UCI School of Medicine with the students that are looking into going into obstetrics. And I show them videos of normal natural birth. And I talk to them about the difference of the model of care between midwifery care and obstetrical care. And I give them the opportunity to take me up on going to a home birth with me. And it's like, if we had more of that, there would be such a beautiful bridge between providers where, you know, we're kind of up, you know, the OB's hands are kind of tied because of their malpractice insurance. And, you know, there's so many different layers that get in the middle of what looks like good care. And, you know, I love OBs. Like they can be lifesavers and they are trained surgeons and their job is to be really good at surgery. And if you're not looking at surgery, then you don't necessarily want a trained surgeon managing your birth. There's a really good quote that I love by Ina Mae Gaskin, and it she relates basically having an obstetrician at your birth to hiring a pediatrician as for your babysitter. And it, you know, it's like, yes, that makes so much sense.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. So we'll kind of wrap this up. I could go on and on. It's so fascinating and so fun for me, but I want to be respectful of your time. So what
maybe we'll have to do, oops, sorry, go ahead.
No, we'll do
another one with Q&As from your audience.
Oh, so good. Okay, guys, prepare questions now because Lynn's already promised that she's coming back. So that's a very good idea. You already touched on it a little bit, but what would you just say are some of the things someone should ask when they are interviewing a midwife? Because I know some people go in, but they're like, okay, I know I think I want to do this, but I don't even know what to ask. I don't even know what I'm looking for. What would you say would be some things for them to ask when they do go into those interviews?
So, you know, you could Google, there's so many different like questions to ask your midwife, you know, or like while interviewing a midwife. And, you know, the main things are, is, you know, like what is your philosophy on birth? And, you know, like, how do you feel in this system of, you know, if we had to go to the hospital and like, what does that look like for you? But hands down, over and over and over again, I will always say the most important thing is if you feel comfortable. Mm. Like if you walk in and there is no, you know, magnetic relationship that's there, like keep looking, because there will be a midwife that is right for you. And, you know, even as a midwife, there are people that come in to interview me and I'm like, nope, no way. Like we're not energetically matched at all. And so it's so important to feel comfortable, and the relationship builds with time. It's not like you're going to walk in and be somebody's best friend, but you know, if you walk in and your intuition is like, yes, that is your midwife. If you walk in and your intuition is like, fine, keep looking, just keep looking. Yeah. There's, you know, getting to be so many more options out there. And then word of mouth is always amazing. Like talking to your friends who have had these experiences and seeing, you know, what their care looked like, even if you guys aren't in the same area, like what their experiences look like, and trying to kind of compare that experience to, know what you can find in the midwives in your area.
Mm-hmm. I would say that was probably the biggest piece for me that also helped me through this process, is I had my girlfriend who I literally went to and said, I don't know anybody else in California that's had a home birth other than you. And she was in Inland Empire. Her midwife was obviously completely different than you, but just having that person to bounce off things through was like life-saving. And then, of course, my sister, who's in Arizona, but still had five babies at home, I was able to just connect on a different level. And they get it because they've been there, right? So I agree that finding that community or person or people that have been there before you will literally be like 90% of the piece of just kind of walking you through.
It's like trusting our elders, right? It's like, you know, the people that have been through it before have this beautiful wisdom of what we can, you know, the experiences that they can give us from their own experiences. And it changes everything if we just listen. Like, listening is so, so, so important. And I feel like it's something that we haven't really been taught to do well in our culture. And so, you know, once we start asking questions and once we start listening, then there's just so much wisdom in that.
Yeah.
And community. You know, with their, like sitting around with even just one person, having that community is everything.
Totally. Okay. So last question, I guess it's not even a question. Well, yeah. What would you say any other people? No. We're not going to go with that one. We're going to go with this one. Tell me if you can, cause you've had how many births have you done at this point? I mean, probably,
you know,
I get asked
this question. Yeah. I don't know exact. I know I'm probably over 1,100 over the last 16 years.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So out of the 1,100, are there any, I know you've told me a few before, or any that just stick out to you as seriously miraculous and just amazing, or just defied the odds, that you would say, listen, this has happened and this was amazing and you can do this too?
Yeah. You know, I love the storytelling element that comes with birth. Cause most of the time you hear really crappy birth stories, right? You know, like everybody and their mother wants to talk to you and tell you about how crappy their birth experience was. And, you know, you're like, oh, okay, thanks, I guess. And so, you know, I always say to my clients, like, if you get those people, cause they will approach you, to be like, I'm so sorry for your experience, but I'm really trying to keep my head space in a good place. And then automatically go into this like bubble of peace, you know? But I definitely try to incorporate telling birth stories into my midwifery practice and into my Instagram, you know, like my biggest thing is normalizing birth.
I love your Instagram, and it does an incredible job of that. You guys, I'll put her handle and all that in there for you to follow her if you're not following her, because your Instagram definitely tells the story.
It does. And I get messages all the time from people that are like, you know, I've never had a baby before, and I now I'm pregnant, and I wouldn't have even thought about, you know, midwifery care if it wasn't for following your account. And those things are just so incredible and special. Like, you know, just to change the perspective and trajectory of how somebody can experience one of the greatest moments of their life. You know, you look at, you know, these big landmark things throughout life, like your wedding and, you know, pregnancy and second baby, third baby. And those are the main things that you look back at life. And I always say, like, most people do more research and investigation into their wedding photographer instead of who's going to be present at their birth. And so, you know, like looking at those stories and really trying to like zone into what feels best to you with how you're going to give birth is so important. But in terms of like the most miraculous one, I could say yours are pretty amazing, Con. You're such an amazing birther. I mean, with your last birth, with our root beer cocktail, with it, because you're broken for so long, and you birthed your baby so beautifully. But I'm going to talk about a birth that we had in November, and it's actually gotten international publicity on it just because it's so amazing. And like, you know, my midwife heart just pounds with joy because it's normalizing twin birth at home. And so I had a client, and she had had several babies with me in the past, and her youngest was like 5 months old, and she, you know, I got the text like, oh my gosh, is this even real, with the pregnancy test. And and then we found out that it was twins, and we moved through the whole process. Now, back up really quick, because I have to make this little disclosure that in the state of California, midwives aren't legally allowed to attend twin births without an OB backup. And so I have an incredible OB who I just love and adore, and he's become a really good friend of mine. His name is Dr. Stuart Fishbein, and he he's on Instagram as Birthing Instincts. And he comes down from my higher risk births, and we have this incredible working relationship where he basically just sits on the couch and lets me do my thing. If I need anything, I holler back at him. And so he signed on care really quick, and we had this beautiful collaborative care experience. And my client, all of her babies were early. She had always had our babies, I mean, not super early, but you know, 37 weeks, 38 weeks. And we were expecting these twins like 35, 36 weeks, and 35 weeks passed, and 36 weeks passed, and we finally were up to almost 40 weeks pregnant, and most pregnant she'd ever been, let alone with twins. And so she was like, these babies, like, I need these babies out. And so we actually did a castor oil induction with her, and she drank the castor oil. You know it well. She drank the castor oil around 11:15 in the morning. And at 2:15, I had been in touch with her all morning. At 2:15, she said, I'm having contractions, but this is nothing. It's literally nothing. I'm just watching TV. And I was like, you know, baloney, like, give me a break. I said, let me talk to your husband. And so I was like, what's going on? And we always joke that he's like the dad midwife. And he was like, I think you should come. So we got in the car and started driving, and it was starting to get to that rush hour traffic point in Orange County. And, we got back to our house, and there was a line of cars to even get into the gate. It was a gated community to get in there. And I'm out of the car, like, hooting and hollering, like, move these cars. Cause I knew those babies were coming. I could hear it in her voice. They had called me. And so the guards kind of parted the sea and moved me through. And, I got in the house and grabbed my emergency bag, you know, thinking that the babies would probably be already there. And I could hear her, like, just roaring, laughing hysterically as I was running up the stairs. And I just hear her, Lindsay. And I walk up, and grandma is holding one baby in one arm, and dad is holding another baby in his hands. And I heard the second baby come out as I was running down the hallway to their room. And it was just like the whole room was the most beautiful, infectious, joy. I mean, and that comes with almost every birth. There is really that, like, palpable feeling of this miracle that just took place. But to have this, like, you know, she sent her dad to Costco, and he came back from Costco and walked in and was like, what? The babies are here? So that's kind of one that just stands out in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I actually have it on my Instagram. So if you, if you go onto my Instagram, you can see the videos, and those videos were on the Today Show. So, you know, like I said, it made my midwife heart burst, just because it's getting this international press around normal home birth of twins, which is amazing.
Wow. I just got, honestly, goosebumps and tears in my eyes. And I remember the story, and I just hearing you say it, though, you can feel it, you can sense it. There's nothing like that experience, and I can't even imagine with two. So it's such a beautiful thing, and I just honestly cannot thank you enough for being here. Like I said, we could go on, but we definitely have to do part two, because I know I'm going to get so much feedback from this and so many questions. And really quickly before we go, I want everybody to know about your newest project. So tell us what it is and when they can get a hold of it.
Awesome. Yay. So there is a book that is coming out on Amazon right now. It's available for pre-order, and Connie can put the link underneath show notes. But it will be released on March 24th. And me and three other amazing people in this field of childbirth, there's an OBGYN, Dr. Emiliano Chavera, and then there is a mental health specialist that specializes in postpartum health. And then another amazing gal named Bryn, who has a podcast by the name of The Birth Hour, which are all beautiful birth stories. And we all got together and we wrote a book called Essential Pregnancy Q&A. And it's basically just us going through and answering different questions and giving advice for every stage of pregnancy. And like I said, it will be out on March 24th. And I'm really excited about this. This is like the first of many books that I plan on releasing.
Yes. Well, I am too. I cannot wait to get it. I can't wait for you guys to get it. Linz, You're incredible. You are one of a kind. I'm so excited to see where not only this book continues to take you, but all the rest of the other journeys that I know are coming for you. And I just love you. And I can't thank you enough for being here with us. And I'm looking forward to part two. So thank you, Linz. Love you.
Thank you. I love you so much. Thanks again, guys.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.